you so much, Cindy. Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? It seems strange not to be preaching on Judges. It's been a long time since we've been in any other book on Sunday evening. And so just to fill you in on what I believe the Lord is leading me to do and what I hope to do, Lord willing, in the next couple of months is to, tonight will be a one-off sermon. It's not connected to any series, but then we have the World Awareness Conference coming in early October, which will be really great and encouraging to you. Let me encourage you to be a part of that. And then after that, we have a couple of other really exciting things that I'll share with you later. But then late October, early November, what I would like to do is to begin a study of the parables of Jesus Christ. What I'm going to be calling his salvation stories. And I think you're going to love that study. It is one of my favorite things in the whole world to study. And I know I say that every time, and every time I mean it. It's going to be great. Let me tell you about Bosco and his medications. My dog is crazy. So he just had surgery. I won't tell you why, but I think you could figure it out. And he had this big cone of shame on. And every night, because of his unrelenting craziness, we would pop him a few Benadryl, you know, just to help him sleep, to help us sleep. And so I'd take these two little pills and I would put it in Velveeta cheese. And he would wag his tail and he'd be so excited. And I said, "Come here, Bosco, here's your pills." And he would swallow that Velveeta cheese. I don't think it even touched the sides. It was gone just like that. His meds were swallowed up. They were gone. I hand him his meds and poof. What if our greatest fear was taken away just like that? What if our deepest concern and burden was simply just quickly erased? What if everything that we fear the most was swallowed up in victory? In 1 Corinthians 15, we will find that it is. First of all, death is not a pleasant topic. Now, this is especially true of unbelievers. Death is not pleasant when you're not sure of what happens after death. That is why our world does everything it can to live. Because since they don't know what's happening next, since they can't begin to have any confidence in what will happen when their eyes close on earth, we do whatever we can to prolong life. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says this, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep," that means dead, "so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." It's hard to talk about something like death because it is the singular fear of unbelievers everywhere. No one wants to die. Secondly, death is not pleasant even when you know everything is going to be okay. Can I remind you that in John chapter 11, when Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus, he wept over his dead friend, even though he knew he was about to raise him from the dead? In the face of death, even the Lord of glory found it something that made him cry. Jesus himself wept at the tomb of his friend. In fact, this is the second shortest verse in the Greek New Testament. It's the shortest verse in the English New Testament. It's the John 11:35. Jesus wept. So even though believers should and do have an understanding of death, it's still difficult. So here's what you need to know. Are you ready? Death is a defeated foe. When I was a little kid, there was this dog next door that scared the daylights out of me. And I'm embarrassed to admit, it wasn't a big Doberman or a Rottweiler or even a Lab. It was this cute little frizzy thing, about this big. And I'd leave my house, and this dog lived actually across the street, and it would bark the second I left the house. And sometimes I'd go over to that house because their son was a friend of mine, and this dog would jump up to try to bite me in the face. This little cute fuzzball. You know what I used to think? How funny would it be if all of his teeth were removed? And all of his claws were taken away. In fact, have you ever seen the old Christmas special, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Remember that big, abominable snow monster? Right? He's so scary, then they take his teeth out, and all of a sudden he just likes to bounce and play. I guess they never realized that he was probably still strong enough to pull their arms out of their sockets. But see, death is a toothless dog. It's a toothless tiger. It no longer can touch you, believer in Jesus Christ. It's no longer worthy of your fear. It's gone. What we really fear in death, and we'll explain this later, has now been remedied. What we really face in death has now been removed. Beloved, death has been swallowed up in victory. With that in mind, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and notice, friends, a victorious reality. In chapter 15, verse 50, we find this. It says, "Now I say this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." The first thing we notice then is this: the perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. Now, what does it mean to be perishable? Right? We hear this word most often when it's talking about food, right? There's perishables and imperishables. Well, what's the difference? Well, perishables will decay. They'll rot. They'll go bad. Imperishables won't. Things like rice that haven't been cooked yet, or pasta, or things like that. They won't go bad. They have a long, long shelf life. We are not imperishables. We do not have a long shelf life. We are decaying now. At least our bodies are. And that's a problem. Because the perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. You need to understand this. This means that in order for you to enjoy heaven, something about us needs to change. And the problem is not simply our corruptions, but our very composition. We are not fit for heaven as we are. In order to experience this victory over death, we must become something that we are not now. Remember when you were little and you wanted to ride the rides at an amusement park? And you waited in line and you were all excited because you really wanted to experience that roller coaster, and then you get to the front of the line and there's a sign that says you must be this tall to ride? Some of you people are very tall, and you've probably never had that experience, and I am super, super jealous. But when you get to that sign, it's nothing that you've done. It's nothing that you haven't done. It's what you are. You're short. And because you're short, you can't ride the ride. It's not safe. You couldn't handle it. Similarly, because our bodies, the way they are now, are decaying, are rotting, are putrefying, we can't inherit the kingdom of God. Something must be done, not only to erase our blemishes of character, but to erase our limitations of composition, our bodies. This leads us then to the mystery of the resurrection. Notice in verse 51, beloved, it says this, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." Now let's just stop there just for a second. When Paul says, "I tell you a mystery," he's not using the word the way we normally use mystery. He's not saying, "I'm going to tell you something you don't understand." No, what he's telling you is, "I'm going to tell you something that you will understand, but that previous generations did not understand." He's saying, "I'm going to tell you something new, something that's going to blow your mind." Are you ready? He says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery," verse 51. "We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed." Now, I know that that verse is on the wall of almost every nursery and every church in the country, right? We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed. But that's not what this verse is talking about, beloved. It says, "For the blood-bought sons of the living God." Every limitation in your body, in your mind, in your soul, in your record, in your character, poof, will be swallowed up in victory. The way Bosco takes his pills. Like that. Wow. What is revealed in this mystery? First of all, we will not all sleep. Now, the word sleep here is a euphemism for death. What he is saying is that in the New Testament, it is revealed that not every human being will die, that some will remain when the Lord returns, and for them, they will be raptured up and resurrected with new bodies. Some will die, some won't. But beloved, hear what John 11:25 says. Jesus said, in the same passage about raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies." Jesus is the answer to our deepest fear, the remedy for our deepest need. We shall all be changed. Regardless of whether or not we die, we'll be changed. Now, it's important to realize that we here is believers. I mean, yes, there is eternity for believers and unbelievers. But for believers, there is this resurrection to glory. For unbelievers, there is awakening and increased judgment. Why is this so important? Because we might think, you know what, I'm not one of those super holy believers. I'm not one of these great, momentous Christians. I'm just a regular guy. Well, let me read the text again, my friend. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed." This will happen instantaneously. Verse 52, it says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." How fast does it take you to blink? Super fast. In that time, you will go from perishable to imperishable. At the last trumpet, "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." The dead in Christ will rise. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17, I feel like I really should read this to you just so you understand that this is a promise not only for those who remain, but for those who passed away in Jesus. It says this, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep," that is dead, "that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep," that means died, "in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain will not precede those who have fallen asleep, for the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. My friends, that is a victorious reality. So then let's talk about the victorious results. Okay, now what? We're changed. Once this great resurrection occurs, what will happen next? Or what will happen then? First of all, the perishable will put on the imperishable. Look at verse 54. Or, sorry, 53. For this perishable must put on the imperishable. This mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, are you ready? Death is swallowed up in victory. Death will be gone. Like that. Your greatest fear will be an afterthought for all eternity. Your greatest burden, your greatest limitations will be gone. Every limitation will have been compensated for. Every limitation will have been corrected. And our limited, earthly, flawed bodies will have been swallowed up in the victory of the resurrection. Or to put it a different way, gentlemen, someday you'll wake up with abs. Can you imagine? Your limitations swallowed up, and you're going to have a six-pack. Pecs, the whole deal. I mean, kind of like I am now, if you want to need something to visualize. Every aching back, every shaky knee, everything that makes us unfit for his kingdom is gone. Death will be swallowed up in victory, like Bosco with his pills. Death will be rendered ineffectual. Revelation 20, verse 14 says this, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Death itself will die. Death itself will experience death. And then he who seeks to frighten us with death will have been destroyed. Notice what Hebrews 2, 14 through 15 says. It says, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, that's Jesus, also partook in this, of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. See, the devil wants to scare us. The devil wants to say, you know, you're going to die. The devil's going to say, you don't know what's on the other side. The devil wants us afraid. But the death of Jesus Christ renders him a toothless lion. In verse 15 it says, and that Jesus might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. In Romans 16:20, it says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. What gives martyrs the ability to die for Jesus? The answer is, this victorious, victorious remedy. Notice this in verse 54. When these things happen, death is swallowed up in victory. And then it says this, oh death, where's your victory? Oh death, where's your sting? It's as if now Paul is speaking to death and saying, death, what can you do to me now? Answer, nothing. I am deathly afraid of bats. I hate those little critters. If given the opportunity to eat mayonnaise or be in a room with a bat, I think I would just pass out. I don't know what I would choose. But you know what doesn't scare me? When I go to the zoo and I see bats behind glass this thick. Because I know they can't hurt me. The winged spawn of Satan that they are. So I look through the glass. It doesn't scare me that much. It doesn't bother me because I know I'm safe. Beloved, death doesn't have to scare you anymore. It can't touch you. Jesus says that you will live even if you die. It's swallowed up in victory. A toothless tiger. And God will soon crush Satan under your feet. In verse 56, it says this, the sting of death is sin. What is he saying here? What he's saying here is simply this. The reason why we're afraid to die is because we know how we have lived. An unbeliever, I say this with all love to you. If you're hearing me online or if you're here today, the single greatest problem in your life is that God is real. And because he's real, he cannot tolerate your sin. But the greatest blessing in your life is that God is gracious. And he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take the punishment that we deserve. Death, this victorious remedy over death, that is our great fear in the world. So why are people afraid of dying? Well, they're afraid to die because everyone will be judged. Hebrews 9, 27 to 28 in your notes. Notice this. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. If that were the only verse, it would be super sad. But notice the next verse. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. You know what that means? That means when Jesus returns, sin's not an issue for you. That's taken care of. He died for that. When he comes back for you, it's to welcome you into his kingdom, to wrap his arms around you and tell you that death has been swallowed up in victory. People are afraid to die because they're afraid of what's on the other side. And let's be honest, this is true whether you're a believer or not. The old expression is, I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens, right? But the power of death lies in the universal reach of sin. And the victory over death lies in the universal ransom for sin. Jesus died, and his death is sufficient for everyone who will believe. It's sufficient for everybody. Although it's only applied to those who believe. The victory over death lies in this ransom. Notice, beloved, what it says. Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his sacrificial death on our behalf, we have victory over our deepest fear. This leads us then to a victorious resolve. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. First of all, be steadfast, firm, settled. Keep going no matter what the opposition might be. What's the worst somebody can do to you? Kill you. Jesus says, don't fear the person who can kill the body. Fear him who has the authority to cast you into hell. All they can do is kill us. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Keep trusting no matter what your circumstances might be. Be active. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Keep serving no matter what your challenges might be. And finally, be reassured. Keep believing no matter what your struggles might be. And remember that our work is not in vain. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that if there's unbelievers amongst us tonight, that they wouldn't feel judged, that they wouldn't feel pressured, that they wouldn't feel nominalized or relegated. I pray, Lord, that you would bring to their mind what they would deserve if they were face to face with you now. I pray this, Lord, you know my heart. I pray this not simply to make them feel scared, but that by your Holy Spirit they may be taught that there is a remedy to that feeling. That they don't have to die. That they don't have to be judged. That they don't have to face your wrath. And Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit you would draw them and grant them life. Lead them to cry out to you and say something like this: God, I know I'm a sinner. And I also know that I am weak, fleshly, and that there's no way I could stand before you as I am. And yet you accept me as I am to change me into what I will become. Lord, I know I'm nothing special. I'm just a regular person. Would you save me? Would you give me life, even if I die? And Lord, I pray for those of us who are already believers, that you would help us not to fear this toothless tiger. Not to fear what comes the second after we close our eyes on this earth. But to be immovable, steadfast, active, and faithful. Lord, thank you for Calvary Bible Church. Would you bless us to the praise of your glory in Jesus' name?